Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
Hello, this is Lisa Cohn. I'm here with my brother, mental game coach Patrick Cohn, and Donnie Wiltshire, program director for Showtime Athletics in Portland, Oregon. Today we're going to talk about what parents should do if their child's coach plays favorites.
Be sure to visit youthsportspsychology.com and pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. You'll learn the top 5 challenges for sports parents, the top 5 mental game challenges for young athletes, and how you as a parent can help your child feel confident and happy in sports. Again, visit youthsportspsychology.com to pick up the ebook.
Patrick, let's start with you. Why would a coach play favorites?
Well, I think there's many reasons why a coach would play favorites. A big one, I think, is coaches want to see effort. They want to see kids showing up on time to practice, giving full effort at practice, you know, and maybe even going beyond their normal scheduled practice to improve their game. So I think one reason a coach is going to play favorites is he's going to see real hard workers. Coaches love hard workers. Another reason might be that they just get along really well. I mean, their personalities mesh, and the coach gets along with the player very well, and they can interact well.
And he may have an easy time communicating with a certain type of player, is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely, may have an easy time communicating. And I also think, based upon my career, coaches play favorites with star players as well. Coaches want to make sure that star player or players are, you know, well taken care of and they continue to do their job for the team.
Right. Now, in my experience as a sports parent, coaches also play favorites with their own kids, and that's something I want to address in this podcast. Well, tell me a little bit. Give me a couple ideas about what parents should do if the coach is favoring another child or children over their own.
Well, the first thing they have to understand is it happens at every level. It happens on every team. And I know that doesn't make it okay for the parent. But my philosophy for the parent would be to communicate to their child that when they get the chance that they need to be able to shine. What I mean by that is if they're in a game and they're in crunch time, they need to be able to perform their best and not choke or not have fear of failure or not worry about outcomes or not worry about what the coach is going to say. So they need to be taught how to be mentally tough in order to perform their best, you know, in crunch time. And I don't mean become the star player, but I mean just get the job done.
Right, do the best they can. But, of course, it's kind of a double whammy for them because they haven't really been selected as the star player, and they're not getting the star player treatment. So it's not easy to do.
No,
circumstances.
It's not easy to do, but I think the child athlete cannot let it affect his or her performance and say, you know what, I'm not going to put out 100% in practice. Or I'm not going to put out 100% in the game because I'm not the coach's favorite. No, I think that it can actually be used as a motivator. If we put a positive spin on it, okay, you're not the coach's favorite. Let's use it to show the coach that you're a crunch time player or that you're a good player or that you're willing to give 100% effort even though that you're not one of the favorites.
Well, now, what should the parents tell the kids? Just give me a few tips. You know, and generally the kid will whine when this happens, and sometimes they're angry.
It sounds like you have some experience with this, Lisa.
It wouldn't be a problem if the kid could just step up to the plate. But let's say the kid is kind of whining and feeling bad and a little bit angry. What should the parents tell the kid?
Well, you know, once again, I think the parent has to relay to the child that favoritism happens in sports. It's kind of there's a winner and there's a loser. And sometimes coaches will play favorites with the star players, and then the other people are not favorites. It doesn't mean that they're a lesser player or a lesser person, and they shouldn't take it personally. that would be one of the worst things that could happen is the child takes it personally. Oh, I'm not one of the favorites on the team. And then have it affect their performance on the field. Once again, I think they have to be able to separate that, not take it personally, and be able to go out and do their job. So the parents need to tell the child, look, you can go out and perform and have fun in sports and perform independently of whether you're a favorite or not of the coach.
Right. I think that's a good point. Now, what if the coach's favorite is his own child?
Well, it so
which
happens,
is pretty common.
Well, it so happens I'm working right now with a high school soccer player, and her dad happens to be the coach, and this is a very high-level team. This is club soccer. And often I think what happens is dads that are coaches can typically be harder on their own child rather than play favorites with their own child. I mean, they're probably going to give their own child more playing time, but they're aware of the fact that their child plays on the team, and sometimes they can even be harder on the child than any of the other players on the team.
But I've seen it go the other way, and that's when it's a problem. If the coach's favorite is his own kid, and if the coach is really kind of preoccupied with his or her own child, what should the parent tell his or her child at that point?
The parent that's not the coach, or the parent that's...
The parent that's not the coach.
The parent that's not the coach. Well, I think
so. The kid again, who's not being favored.
Some of the same techniques or ideas that we had discussed before apply. That the parents need to instill upon the child that, you know, it's their son or daughter out there that most likely they're going to play some type of favoritism towards their son or daughter, and you know that. They would probably do the same, if they were coaching as well, but they need to separate that fact from their performance and don't go out there to play with the idea that someone's getting favored over another person. You have to be ready. I talk a lot about with my students, if you're not getting the playing time you need, you have to be absolutely mentally ready to go out there and perform when you do get the chance so that you can get more playing time. If you're sitting on the bench, you're sitting on the sidelines, and you're just brewing and you're upset about the coach playing favoritism with, you know, his or her own son or daughter, then that's not going to help you be able to go out there and shine when you need to and when you do get the chance.
Right. Now, are there any circumstances under which you suggest that the parent talk to the coach about his or her tendency to favor certain children? You know, hey, coach, it feels kind of bad that you seem to be favoring Peter over Sammy.
Well, I think communication is always good with the coach. From my experience, what you have to understand is you may not change the behavior of the coach. The parent may not have an impact on what the coach and how the coach is going to coach. So the best option, I think, is to be prepared to react in a way to how the coach coaches rather than trying to change the coach. But
right.
Yeah, but I would say generally opening the lines of communication with the coach and addressing it in a very non-threatening way.
Assertive, polite.
Yeah, I think, sure, that's always, you know, that's always welcome. And I think, you know, coaches, I'm sure they're very receptive to having to listen to what parents have to say. But then, once again, you know, changing them or having them implement that change is a whole other story.
Right. Now, are there any circumstances under which you suggest that parents just simply find a new coach for their kid? Or do you think the kid should always tough it out?
Oh, no, absolutely. Parents should always keep the options open, finding a coach that's going to be supportive, is going to look after the the health and the welfare of the athletes, that uses positive reinforcement rather than punishment. Certainly, if you think that the coach is harming your child in any way, that goes, you know, kind of beyond what an ethical coach would be doing, then certainly I would think you want to look at other options.
Right.
I know one situation here, a student, a very young fencing student that I worked with, her mom had come in with her and we had a discussion, and they basically said to me, this coach is just berates them, yells at them, rips them apart. We have a real problem with how the coach is treating my child. But guess what? He's the best coach in the area, and there's no other options.
That's when you start your own team. But that's actually the subject of a completely different podcast, when you have a coach who's kind of abusive.
Yes.
I think that is. But in summary, the parents should definitely keep their options open. If it just feels like the wrong fit for their child, they should consider finding another team or another coach.
No, certainly.
All right. Well, Patrick, thanks a lot. And next we're going to move on to Donnie. Talk to you soon. Okay, Donnie, you've been on both ends of this topic. Can you tell me what you think parents should do if a kid feels like the coach is playing favorites? And obviously the kid is not one of the favorites.
Well, there are a couple of different ways you can look at it. I pretty much look at it in a three-step process. The first being, number one, especially with athletes and parents, the first and foremost thing is for the kid to kind of knuckle up. You know, it's for the kid to understand that you're there to do a job, and if you are not one of the quote-unquote favorites, first thing you want to do is look in the mirror. You know, that's the biggest thing. It's for the kid to look in the mirror and see what it is he is or is not doing. And once you address that part, the second step, I would say, is to address the coach. It's pretty easy. You know, most coaches are pretty approachable. If you're in a situation with a coach that is not approachable, then there's no need for you to really be in that situation. Or you would know that going into it, that you can't really approach the coach. But if you can approach the coach, you sit down with the parent and the player and even do so separately outside of that. So parent and player together, and then player by themselves, and then parent by themselves, and see what it is the coach is looking for out of your child. That's very important. If the coach is looking for you to be a role player, if they're looking for you to be a star player, whatever the case may be, the biggest thing is to see if the coach is willing to sit down with you and sit down with both of you individually and say, this is what I'm looking for out of this child. So now you can go home with a peace of mind and knowing what it is you have to work towards. Thirdly, you know, if you get to that point where you have talked to the coach and your child is knuckled up and you've taken so much, that's when it comes down to finding a new coach. You know, every child doesn't fit with every coach. I'm a coach, and some players just aren't really, they just don't necessarily suit what you're looking for.
Right.
You know, you don't necessarily, if every coach got every player that they really wanted or that's ideal to the way they coach, then we would all win championships every day. But we all know that 50% of the teams that play in games lose. You know, the other half win.
Right.
So what you want to do is, first and foremost, look in the mirror. Secondly, talk to the coach and see what it is those goals are. And you try to meet those goals. The coach wants you to make more jump shots or work on your left hand, then you go ahead and do that. And if nothing changes after that, then maybe the situation is just not for you. It's pretty much that simple.
Well, thanks a lot, Donnie. And I want to remind our listeners to visit us at youthsportspsychology.com and to pick up our free ebook, which helps parents build confidence and success in young athletes. Bye, Donnie.
Thanks a lot, Lisa.